Just because I did not call on volunteers tonight, new ones to be trained, doesn't mean I'm going to slack off from that. But by the same token, I don't want you volunteers to think that every time you come, you're going to work the cameras. Because you need to work on the phones, too. And I had a surplus tonight of volunteers that have already been trained. So you get to sit and watch. But I will not slack off each time you come. Expect some of you that haven't yet been used, who volunteered, and others who have received some training, we're not backing off. I've seen some considerable progress this week in the changes that I'm dedicated to free this ministry from any hold by those that have simply backslidden. They don't know it any more than some of you know it when you backslide. You're still like the inertia of a push bicycle. You still think your heart's in the right place, but you have either backed off from faith, which is the connection to God's Spirit, or whatever. The spiritual life is waning. You can grieve the Spirit of God. He's not without feeling. And it was rather interesting this week for some of the newer people that are helping me by being trained in the areas that one person in particular has dominated for so long. He got off the scene on other assignments, and they found that some of the same demons stayed around to get in them. And they came, I'm going to be figurative, but they came whistling to work thinking, okay, we got this thing under control. The problem workers moved elsewhere. In fact, he did pretty good in the elsewhere place. The ones I put in his place started making some of the same stupid moves, shortcuts, doing it their way instead of the way that they were told to do it. It's amazing how no one believes that Satan can influence you. I never did teach the biblical series I was going to do some years ago on demonology. But I've said enough in the Ephesian letter for you to know you don't have to be demon-possessed to be in that position where you must say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, world rulers of this darkness and spiritual hosts of evil in the air about us. You try to do the Lord's work in the flesh, you're going to get your head knocked. I mean, Jacob had good motives in terms of object. He wanted the birthright. He even was in conformity with God's intention. God intended him to have the birthright. Jacob's problem was he sought to encompass it in his own strength, his own way. And he never became Israel, which means a prince that hath power with God, until God broke him to where he was reduced to simply clinging, hanging on for God's blessing. He walked with a limp the rest of his life, as I often say, borrowing from Dr. Tozier, to remind him of that experience. With God, the way you do things is as important as the objective. You don't take shortcuts, and the end does not justify the means. That's pragmatism. See, I have people who come work for me and they want to be judged on spiritual grounds. The leading one of which is be treated the way God treats us. As long as we get a point in the right direction, He keeps giving us another chance. But they want to act in the flesh. So I'm not backing away. A word of warning, you get in the heat of battle, you get a profile in hell. George Oda said I was on one, every wanted poster. Well, there'll be some other names going on board. When you come out of fringe participation to directly in the middle of the vortex of winning the war each day against Satan, all of us, those of us who work here, have our personal battles we must struggle with. But it's intensified to the degree that you become critical, key men and women in God's program. The devil would rather take you down any day than someone that's not as easy to notice. Now turn to Philippians. 27th verse, first chapter. Only what's that mean? Only menon or monon in the Greek. Seeing as how for me to live is Christ, Paul speaking, and I desire to be with Christ, but I'm in a straight jacket of conflicting emotions, I desire to be with Christ. To die is gain and to live is Christ, but I desire to be with Him. But it's needful that I come to you. You need me. So that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only, in the meantime, considering that, since I'm staying in this miserable world to come to you and meet your needs, let your conversation, now that's not coffee clutch, literally in the Greek, only worthily. Let's come over here, Kent, and let's see if we can get on this screen. And follow the mouse. Let's see if the color will come through on the screen okay. Otherwise, we may have to change it. That's okay. Philippians 1:27, the Greek, monon axios. You should have learned to recognize from the teaching on the communion that is the adverbial ending. It's not worthy, but worthily. The King James translates it, come to me. Only let your conversation, and stay there, Kent, I'll use you again. I prefer you can go over my left shoulder if you can position yourself. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Since I'm now certain God's going to get me through this mess in Rome because of the supply of the Holy Spirit and your prayers. And though I desire to be with Christ, I hear a voice. Is that the director? Tell him to shut up. I'll direct it when I start teaching. And he knows that. Directors direct when I'm not teaching. I know how to direct. How many believe I know how to direct? So just shut up there and listen. You need this teaching. Here they go again. an emergency today. A real emergency. It took me, I don't know how many phone calls and how much time to get everybody's head out of their work. Long enough to adjust to my orders that changed their little work nest. If you ever come here, will you get it in your head? You're not working for GE. You're not working for ARCO. You're not working for some union shop. You have suddenly joined the army of the Lord and we're at war. Against supernatural forces. Does anybody in the world get up in the morning in the midst of battle and know what the enemy's going to do? Remind me of preachers that I often say will finish their message after the rapture takes place because they spent so long preparing it. You're going to make up your mind that the battle is here. Of course, there's no enemy soldiers there. So you really think you're winning the victory. Well, they're coming in and shooting your ass off from another direction. That's spiritual warfare against intelligent beings. Particularly if you announce a plan, now they know it. We're going to hit them here. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, you think the devil's going to be here? He ain't that dumb. I advise lying a little to the devil. Now, that's another subject, but you think about it a while. You self-righteous, I am the truth people. Well, I'd never lie. Not even to the devil. I'd lie all day long to the devil if I could get him in a trap. I ain't lying to you. The body of Christ, that's the first sin. The Ephesian letter says, put away lying. I know where I stopped here. Since I can't have what I want if I could just want this in isolation, and I'm in a straitjacket of conflict, of desire, longing for you with the heart of Christ and wanting to be with you because you need me. Here in Rome, convinced in the Spirit that the supply of the Spirit and your prayers will get me through this, which, by the way, is having fallout for the gospel of Christ and its furtherance. While we're waiting for this matter to resolve itself, until I get with you, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let's analyze that. Let only worthily. You've got to change the order of the sentence in the Greek. Can you pick it up here now? Only worthily, axios. Look at this word. Paula. To aste. You know what we get from that word? Guess. Look at it. Paula to aste. Politics, that's right. You got it, John. You could say only. Let your citizenship, because that's what the word has as its root, your conduct as citizens. Do you think he's talking about citizenship in Rome? What'd Peter say? Come to me. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Act like it. That's what Peter said. That's what Paul's saying here. While you're waiting for me to get there, and you do need me, and that's why I'll forego my desire to be with Christ in order that I can meet your need, conduct yourself as citizens worthily. Again, it's an adverb modifying the action. You're never going to be worthy. But you can express your citizenship in heaven worthily. They're going to explain how you do that. Only conduct yourself or let your citizenship in heaven be worthily done of the gospel, acting worthily as you act worthily before the table of the Lord by discerning. You're acting worthily of the gospel, the word being evangeliu. You see it there. Evangeliu, or evangeliu, the two G's in the Greek are always pronounced NG. Evangeliu. Conducting yourself as citizens of heaven worthily of the gospel of Christ, in order, literally, whether coming and seeing you or being absent, I hear the things concerning you that ye stand, literally hold your ground, in one spirit, pneumati, with one soul. They're saying with one spirit, one mind. Circle that word mind in the 27th verse. The word is soul. Psuki. It's a word for soul. And all kinds of people trying to divide the human nature into various parts, body, soul, and spirit. You got preachers running around telling you the soul is the emotions. Well, it's the emotions, it's reason, it's a host of things. What are you going to have? What would shall a man give for his soul? That's just emotions? The soul's going to live eternally. What, a bundle of emotions? No reason? No intelligence? So many definitions have been given. Ronald Niebuhr defined the soul as that conceptual awareness of yourself as distinct from others, a sense of wholeness, of identity, of yourself as other than things around you. One of the few things I totally disagreed with Ronald Niebuhr on, and very few who study Ronald Niebuhr in piecemeal understand that by that definition, he went on to say we share the soul with animals because they have that same awareness of themselves as distinct from others. The soul is mind and reason and emotions. And I don't know how to give you a strict structural distinction between the spirit of man and the soul. I think God does. I can count on him making the proper retention of me that he wants to keep when I'm gone. If you want me to continue, get on the telephone. I'm in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Only embraces that connection between all that has been previously said about him being in a strait desiring to be with Christ, but knowing that the Philippians need him. Sure and certain that his present condition in Rome will produce fallout for the furtherance of the gospel. And that he will make it because of their prayers and the supply of the Spirit. He says, considering all this, while I'm here having confidence God will take me through it, while you're waiting for this to happen and my joyous return to you, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Conversation is translating politeuesthe. Come back with the camera, if you will. Politeuesthe. Get on it. Politics. Citizenship. Let your citizenship be as becometh, literally axios, worthily conduct yourselves as citizens, as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent. Literally translating, I hear the things concerning you that ye stand in one spirit, pneuma spirit, and one soul, psuche. Now, I'm telling you, I was going to do as my doctoral dissertation before I decided on Reinhold Niebuhr's theology of the nature of man and the implications to Christian education. I was going to do a study of Paul's uses of the word psuche and soul and sarx flesh and pneuma spirit. Paul's not doing a dissection of philosophical differentiation in the nature of man. What he's saying is spirit and soul, that's the rest of you. What he's really saying is every part of you, spirit and soul. See that ye stand in one spirit with one soul, literally in the Greek. So he's obviously speaking poetically here. One spirit, one soul, striving together. I want you to look at that word. Striving together. Look at it closely. Sunoth luntes. Now the prefix sun means cooperating. Among other meanings, it's a prefix that speaks of cooperative effort, one of Paul's most favorite prefixes, so he uses again and again, like doing things together. It summarizes into the preposition what he's already said. One spirit, one soul. Now take the prefix off and just look at the word. Athluntes. What do you think we get from that? Athluntes. Make a guess. Speak up. Athletic. Is that what you said? That's right. It's the word from which we get athlete or athletic. A striving contest. Something that would really ring to these Macedonians who, in the world, outside of war, witnessed the Olympic athletic contest as the greatest events in their whole society. And what Paul is saying is, while you're waiting for me to get there, let your citizenship in heaven be expressed worthily of the gospel that came to you. How do you do that? Well, I want to hear whether I'm there or absent. That you are with one spirit, one soul, in togetherness, striving as in an athletic contest, as a team. In what? In the faith, pistē. Let's be sure we look at that. Pistē, pistē. See the word? You're familiar with that, aren't you? The faith of the gospel. Evangelio. Let's just pause to let this settle in. It's too hot in here. I'm going to come back to Philippi. Your prayers and the supply of the Spirit is going to take me through this trial at Rome. You have already proven, and I've already talked about you and my confidence in you, that you, from the first until the now, have jointly participated with me in the gospel. This letter is occasioned by your latest joint participation, the gift from Epaphroditus. 11 years is a record I can draw confidence from that the one who begun the good work, having you support me at the first when no one else would, until the now, will finish it until the day of Christ. We are so at one together that when I long after you, it's the heart of Christ longing through me. This connection we have and this calling we have assures that even in this imprisonment there is fallout that I can tell you about to the furtherance of the gospel. And though I'd rather be, if that thought is in isolation from everything else, I have a desire to be with Christ. For me to live is Christ, and His heart longs for you through me, and you have need of me, so I have this confidence through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit I'll return to you at a joyous homecoming. But in the meantime, let your citizenship, which is in heaven, be an expression worthily done of the gospel. How do you do it worthily? In oneness of soul and spirit, soon together, with a pressing together of unity, strive as an athletic contest of a team in oneness. And what? Striving together as athletes joined in a united work, one spirit, one soul, in the faith of the gospel. He always comes back to that. What do we do on these phones every night? How many times have I told you over the 18 years? We win victories when you unite and we unite together in faith and sacrifice as one. You stop being onlookers. You get off the bench. We get into this athletic contest, which is what it is. It's a striving like an athletic contest. Do you know that most Christians perform their Christian life the same way they watch Monday Night Football? Most Christians play the game of Christianity like loser teams. A hot dog here and a hot dog there doing his own thing, the rest of them sort of dribbling around. I admire Pat Riley, who coaches the Knicks. They used to say it was the Lakers that made him great, and anybody could have coached the Lakers. And he went to New York. They're the number one defensive team in the league right now. Pat Ewing is a true superstar, but not in the same order as Michael Jordan. Riley has welded a team together with intensity. You do not become the best defensive team in the league because defense is hard, striving work. I played some fiddling basketball in high school. It's hard, striving work. Not near as much fun as shooting. And dribbling, if somebody will leave you alone while you're dribbling. Together. Athletically striving. And there's really no way to translate this into the English because striving together doesn't quite say it. Striving together speaks of the effort of togetherness and striving. But I want the dimension added to the Greek word. Like a championship athletic team. How many times have you heard me say every night at festivals a Super Bowl game? My trouble with my staff is when they get casual about it. They look like a team that the edge has gone out of it. It's just a job. I know athletes are highly paid in today's world, but there's a lot of them that are highly paid and they aren't putting out. Coaches talk of the work ethic when they're considering a new member of the team. We used to have here in Los Angeles a small forward that went to Phoenix. What's his name? Who? A.C. Green. At least he didn't look like he had the talent of some of the others. But he outpaced him in effort. He came to play every night. And when he left here, he had a record of the most games played in a row. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul's just like a coach, and a good one. Okay, I've given you the good news and my confidence I have in you. And how certain I am God will take me through this and how wonderful you have been to jointly participate and how wonderful it'll be for you because you have. But in the meantime, the last kicking's in order. Last kicking for Jesus. See to it that your heavenly citizenship results in behavior that is a worthily expression. It has the quality of being an act that it can be said of that act by an adverb. It is worthily done. How is it worthily done? He didn't say be perfect. It couldn't be perfect. He didn't say be worthy, so you can become like most Christians, don't do anything for fear you do something wrong. Stand, hold your ground in one spirit with one soul, striving together like a team of athletes in the faith. All these words come to that one kind of activity, which if together they strive like athletes in doing, they are therefore conducting themselves worthily of the gospel. For 18 years I've been trying to say it. Quit polishing your righteousness. Quit slipping back into that kind of Christianity that you can put on a checklist, having done these four or five things today, I'm okay, I'm going to heaven. Come together with one spirit, one soul, striving as an athletic team in witness, in faith acts. I says there is no other television or radio ministry that puts the monkey on you every day. Why don't you just change your pattern, Scott, and sit down and let us go up in the stands now with our religious beer and popcorn. And you bring people in and tell us about the great fights of faith you've won. Tell me a story. Bedtime stories for Jesus. A network formula sure to get an audience. Oh, no, you know, while I've got you softened up, this little love gift trinket will go to everybody that sends something this month. That's real striving together like a team of athletes in the faith. I'm here. Voices of Faith are here. King's Houses, King's Dishes, World Band members, and now Philippian Band members around the world can conduct themselves tonight and every night and every day worthily of the gospel. Now, he's saying, as so often these little prototypes are expressed, they should do that awaiting his coming. Whose coming are we awaiting? Paul's greater Lord and Master. Just think of it. Somebody listening to shortwave. In the heart, the jungle down in Colombia can unite with us. Get on the team of faith to keep this message going. And in so doing, you at least, though you can't save yourself, you can exhibit citizenship in heaven in this oneness of mind and spirit as we strive together in this contest against Satan and his forces, and by faith take this message to the world. I don't know any ministry that gives you instant access to the arena with the rest of the team to engage in this contest of faith every day. And you think you don't have any opportunity to do something meaningful with your life? It's as close as your telephone. Get on the telephone. Don't take any more calls. I'm still in Philippians 1, verse 27. While the Philippians are waiting for Paul to come to them, that's embraced in monon, the opening word, translated only in the King James. Worthily is the next word. I've already shown you, I changed the colors hoping it'll show up better on the screen. Axios. That's the ending, as we pointed out on this same word in the 1 Corinthians letter, of partaking worthily. It'd be the small OS, rather than this long OS that in the Greek is shaped like our W, if it were worthy, not worthy, worthily, adverb, has to do with the manner of conducting yourself as citizens of heaven. Because the word conversation in the King James is translating politueste, from which we get politics, or citizenship in heaven is what he's talking about. The body politic of the church have their citizenship in heaven. And he's saying the same thing Peter said later. You're citizens of heaven, children of a heavenly Father, strangers and aliens down here in a foreign land, pilgrims headed home. Travel lightly. And don't get too connected to this earth, or you'll end up like Demas, of whom Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world more than the world to come. Now, you must be like me, looking at these professional athletes and wondering how they can go night after night, keep the intensity up. Well, that's the difference between a champion and a 40 or an $80 million man and a minimum salary bench warmer at $150,000. As Paul said, what God has laid up for us dims the salaries of these modern day athletes. We're just laying our treasures up in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. And paradoxically, when that focus is so free from any carnality or selfish bargaining, God turns around and drops some of it back on us. But Christianity is to be this kind of striving athletic contest. Conduct yourselves, citizens of heaven, worthily. Let the manner of your conduct qualify as being done worthily. We saw at the table of the Lord, the manner of partaking is that makes you partake worthily is to discern the Lord's body. Not take it as a rote with your mind elsewhere and with no understanding. Now, the conduct of citizens that qualifies as worthily citizenship of the gospel of Christ is holding your ground, taking your stand in one spirit and with one soul, striving in oneness, witness together as an athletic team. Pause there, men, again. And say it again, just in case somebody just turned on. Most Christians practice their Christianity the way Dodger fans watch the players play from the stands or on television. Or soccer fans watch their favorite team pulling for them, but never getting into the contest. They practice their Christianity like football fans watch Monday Night Football. But you're never in the game. I'm sorry. God's not selling seats to watch the contest. fools. The eons to come occupy the stands. God's angels in the eons to come will see the contest results as they watch God develop his team to put them on display in eternity. There is no one now allowed to be an onlooker. There are no season tickets for sitting around and watching. You're on the team striving together as an athletic team in unity, or you're waived. Striving together in what? In the faith, peace tie of the gospel. And not being terrified. Not being terrified, literally, in not anything. Double negatives in the Greek that double the impact. Not being terrified of not anything by the ones opposing. You don't even know who's opposing until you get in a fight. No, boy, I'm in the fight, man. Hit him again. You get up there and get one landed on your ear. Then you're in the fight. Now, don't be terrified by the ones opposing, literally in the Greek, which is to them a proof of destruction. I'm translating literally. Some of you that have come here, we don't have as many anymore. We used to have dedicated enemies that would get on the phone and make profound asses of themselves. And some people didn't want to come here because of that. My Lord, we provide the opportunity for people to prove their destruction. Nobody came against you in your faith today. You didn't expose anybody destined for destruction. When we are, as an athletic team, united in faith, those who oppose us, their very opposition is a proof of their destruction. Boy, will they get it. But of you, the opposing of our effort of faith is proof of our salvation. God's not opposing you. When you're acting in faith, that connects you to him. So the very fact you're being opposed is proof of your salvation. Satan, as Ephesians 2 says, sees you slipping out of his grip. Not really slipping, being yanked out of his grip. Boy, the devil has been on my case today. Hallelujah, that's proof of your salvation. The devil didn't bother you today. You're either dead or on the wrong side. Because he never stops, and he ain't punching out his prisoners. Proof of you, proof of salvation, and this from God. Because to you it was given on behalf of Christ. Not only in him to fade, peace to ein, but also on behalf of him to suffer. the same struggle you're having, which he saw in me and now here in me. If anybody's telling you, Paul is saying to them, that what's happening to me is a proof I'm out of God's will, let me get it straight for you. Those that are opposing me and saying that's proof of their destruction. What you see in me, welcome it in yourself. Expect battle scars. Carry them with honor to the courts of heaven. I mattered enough to the devil. He tried to keep me out of here. But God is saving me by faith. You better understand what the contest really is. How tragic that when I say to some of you, get on the phone and get on this team and struggle in faith with us, you make it a contest between me and you instead of together recognizing who the enemy is and winning this contest against Satan. What do you think? You know, there was a day when we connected lines in Los Angeles and Hartford, and well, we didn't do that because it wasn't live. A long time before we got live in San Francisco, then live in Hartford. Do you realize how many miles through the air? Not only is my voice covering everywhere the Prince of the Hour, the Prince of the Air, thought he ruled. The Philippian from the jungles of Colombia. The Philippian from Australia. When they connect on these phones, you know how many demon eardrums get jangled? Get on the telephone now. I served on the committee to save the library, chaired by Lod Cook, as you know, and we did the telethon. And Pat Riley was on that committee. And I remember as the work of the committee approached the basketball season, Pat was a willing worker on the committee, and we did a lot of things besides the telethon. Remember, we'd raised $8 million before the telethon started. The telethon helped push it over the top of the $10 million needed. But I remember as we were scheduling meetings, talking to Pat about some of the things we would have to do in follow-up, and how the scheduling in his case had to stop the day the basketball season began. He said, I have such tunnel vision and am so absorbed that I have no time for anything else. And the results speak for themselves. That's what Paul wanted from the Philippians. That kind of tunnel vision of this athletic contest of faith. Quit lazing yourself to glory because you're going to end up in the wrong place. Get on the telephone. Granby, Massachusetts got the message. They say, I really appreciate tonight's message. Using a football analogy, Satan never takes a time out. It's a good one. And Lawndale says, Doc, in the 26th translation, one translation is fighting shoulder to shoulder. You know, think about the struggle to fill the cathedral. Too many of you have let that be my struggle. We need to be of one mind and one spirit and striving together like an athletic team until it's personal to all of us to make that testimony in the cathedral from which we preach to the whole world. There's so many applications to this verse and to the Philippians. It's not easy You've got to make it a priority and get on the team. Is that clear?